You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Margarita, and I am Diva Tosh.
And I am Diva Cass. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. I feel like we haven't been here in a while.
We were. Have we? We haven't because of the snowstorm.
Yeah.
We couldn't get into
We were
the
buried.
Studio. Yeah. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. We're just not used to this kind of stuff.
No. It was a lot of snow.
Too much.
But we're here now.
We are. And Happy Sunday.
Hey, happy Sunday. How was your week, Tosh?
It was, you know what? Unproductive. But, you know, I got this thing. I park like 0.3 miles away from my office. And Friday,
like
I
marathon?
Actually. Yeah, literally. Friday, I left my cell phone in my car. And I had to take that 0.3 of a mile walk twice before the hour of 7 a.m. Didn't like it. That ended the week off.
Sucks.
Not good. Not good. But I did see Black Panther.
I did too.
And I loved every second of that. I mean, shout out to the cast of Black Panther.
Yeah, it was good.
It met and exceeded my expectations.
I would see it again. Absolutely.
Pretty powerful right now.
My favorite thing about Black Panther, the women.
Love
I mean,
them.
Other than Chadwick. I mean, come on. He was looking real nice in that.
Who?
Chadwick Boseman was looking pretty nice in that Black Panther out. The lead.
See, and my guy was Michael B. Jordan.
I wasn't feeling him.
But
he was the villain.
I like Michael.
But the women were badass.
Yeah.
The women were badass.
They were the HBIC.
I like that. That's what I was liking about the movie. So it was a really good movie.
Tell me something. Did you go in attire?
No.
Or did you just like show up in your regular everyday clothes?
I went Thursday. So
okay.
I didn't, you know, even know about this thing until maybe a day or two later that people were
dressing up.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah,
so.
I was in jeans.
I get an F. So in the Black Panther weekend, it's supposed to break all these records, and it should. It was just a joy to watch. I truly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like everything from location to the costumes, to the mm-hmm. music, to the act, everything was like top notch.
Yeah,
they
I agree.
Definitely did not disappoint. So this
okay.
is the Black Panther weekend. But
before we go any further, today we're talking about divorce.
What a topic.
Nobody wants to talk about divorce.
But we are. I did not see that coming. You could have given me a heads up.
We're going to try to make it through. We're drinking margaritas, just lime margaritas today.
Yeah.
And Tosh, you really put your foot in these margaritas.
Mm-hmm.
They are very strong. But
I
you do. What's going on?
I don't know.
You just like, you know.
I don't know.
The tequila.
I might have to go to counseling for this. Sarah, is yours okay over there?
No,
but Sarah is not a good person to ask because Sarah is also a bartender.
Yeah,
she can
handle
it.
Take a little bit more.
Okay, Sarah, from your bartending experience, where can I improve on my drink mixing abilities?
I think these taste fine. They are a little strong. It's more
Thank
of like
you,
a shot
Sarah.
And a half rather than a shot. But
thank you, Sarah.
She's proud.
Is this Jose Cuervo's?
It is.
Okay.
The mix as well. So
yeah, it does.
Sarah,
I really like tequila too.
She,
I was gonna say
she even knows what kind
she didn't
of tequila.
Even see the bottle.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, Sarah.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
How was your week, Sarah?
It was good. It was good.
Nothing
spectacular. I mean, I worked.
Okay.
My weekend is more like Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like my Friday night.
Oh,
this
wow.
is going to be like my Friday.
And you're drinking already.
Yeah.
She's ready. How was your week, Cass?
You know, other than the agony of working in corporate America, the pains, they just stab me in the eye. Why don't you? Because that's what it feels like. Sarah, you're such a young person. Don't get caught up in this going to 9 to 5
I had a corporate job before. It was,
It is horrible. We're going to talk about corporate America and working in corporate America one day, soon, hopefully, because it is, to me, a nightmare.
Yeah.
We have things to say about it.
Yeah, we don't like it.
We don't. Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to talk about that. But, yeah, I don't want to see you do that, Sarah.
Yeah, it was... I didn't get a lot of vacation time. It was really stuffy. Yeah.
It's a slow death.
It's boring.
It is boring. You're in your cube. At least I do have an office, but it's still cube office. It doesn't matter because, you know, people are constantly coming in, putting stuff in my inbox. And I just, when they put it in the inbox and it's already full, I really just want to.
It's those fucking inboxes, man.
I didn't have an office. I just had a desk. So
it doesn't matter, Sarah. Yeah. You know, really, same difference.
Yeah,
tomato, tomato. You know,
the guy in office space had a desk too. You could move that desk anywhere, including the basement.
But today makes it all worth. You know, I look forward to these margaritas, even though they are strong.
Yeah,
they help you to get ready for what. Like around 6-7 o'clock Sunday night, I go and start going into a depression. I start sinking deeper into like knowing I have to go into the office.
Well, the margaritas serve twofold. It ends off the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's like a celebration of the end of the weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's to prepare you for the beginning of the week.
For Monday. Monday. Okay. But so today we're talking about divorce. And I am divorced.
I'm divorced too.
And
what a coincidence.
Yeah. We didn't do something right.
Is it us?
It may. I don't know. You know, divorce, we've all heard the statistics. Supposedly 50% of marriages end in divorce. But I've heard that number has actually gone down some. So maybe 40%.
See, and I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought without knowing.
I heard it's going down in 2017.
Without knowing, I would have thought higher because – I feel like it's an easy way out for a marriage, and I don't feel.
What do you
that
mean an easy way out? No,
divorce. I don't get along with you. You don't get along with me. Let's get divorced. Whereas back in quote unquote
the olden days,
our parents' days,
they stuck it out. But were they happy? Really? Because you know, I've been divorced. I was married a very short time. Like less than 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, I'd rather be happy. I'm not to say anything negative about my ex-husband, but I don't see that I would have continued to be happy in that situation. So do I, and I had seen women who stayed in marriages, men and women, and were just miserable. And so I don't know. It just depends. I didn't want to live like that.
I do believe that it's perspective because I have spoken to people that are a generation above us, so to speak, the old school days.
Yeah.
And they believe that love and marriage, well, loving your partner in a marriage – in a marriage that may not necessarily be successful, is a choice.
Okay. It is a choice.
And once you make up your mind to make the choice to love the person, regardless of the unhappiness that might be going on, then you stick it out. So
why?
I think it all... Why?
Yeah. Like, okay, so my parents were married. My father passed last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would have been their 50th. This year, they would have been married for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, you know, I've seen my parents go through ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you're happy. You're not happy all the time in a marriage. But for the most part, I believe they were happy. And I just think my mother, she stayed at home for the most part. She was a stay-at-home mom. She had 5 kids. My father made the money. He went to work. And that worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case so much these
days.
You know, you want a wife. I mean, it almost takes 2 incomes to make it these days. Unless you're willing to sacrifice and go without certain things. And now that you have 2 incomes, you have a wife who's in a role of going out and making the money too, but she's still expected to keep the house clean, take care of the kids, and have sex with her husband.
That's a lot.
You know, so that's a lot for a person. I'm not saying that it can't be done.
Right.
And a lot of people are doing it, but it is a lot of people who aren't making it. You know, like when you say 50, even if it's 40% of divorces, marriages end in divorce, that's still a lot of people, a lot of marriages that aren't making it. And we got to ask ourselves why. What's going on? What's happening?
I think that there's a lot of a cultural thing too. Like back in the day, you know, if your husband beat you or something, you still stay with him.
You did.
And now it's culturally acceptable to be like, no, I'm not doing this.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, you stayed, part of why you stayed was because he was the breadwinner.
Yeah. So if you left, you didn't have anything.
You had nothing.
Right. You had no choice.
And so now women are in the workplace and they're more courageous. You're right. It's a cultural thing that now I don't have to stay. I can go out. I can make it. I can even get half of what he has. So, you know, it's a big difference now. What do you think? Because, Tosh, you're divorced. Tell us a little bit maybe about, you know, how long you were married.
I was married for just a few months short of 20 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time. Oh, God, it's a very long time. And sometimes if I let my mind take over things, I can easily fall into the rut of, did I waste these years of my life? But I finally came to the conclusion that the answer is no. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me if I would have done things the same way, I would probably say yes.
Okay.
But I knew that I got to a place of unhappiness way before I actually did get divorced. But what caused me to remain was so many reasons. Staying hopeful that things would change. And what I realized was, you know, when a person passes a certain age in life, they are who they are.
Okay.
And you can't change that. Mm-hmm. But another reason was I didn't want to promote embarrassment on my family because divorce is not an acceptable thing in my family.
Okay.
I'm not going to say in my culture, but a small part of me does believe that culturally, like Sarah said, divorce is not the norm. And, you know, where I come from, you just stick it out. Mm. You do what you have to do to make it work, whether you're happy or not happy. And because of that, I kind of probably broke the rules of, you know, what is acceptable in my immediate family when I did move forward or get the courage to move forward with filing for divorce. I knew that I wasn't happy and I had to make the decision. Am I going to go through life not being happy or am I going to choose to make a change? Mm-hmm. Even if that change meant not necessarily having some of the things that I had on a two-person income, so to speak. My mother worked in the church, and she worked very closely with the pastor of that church. And for so long, I was concerned about what she thought if I did move forward with my divorce.
Because what your mother thought.
What my mother, the church, and the rest of my family.
Okay.
Because there would be an amount of shame that I would be bringing upon my family if I did file for divorce.
Shame. I mean, you should.
Shame.
It's a real thing. It is real because.
Yeah.
You know, when you speak of that, that was the one thing that I think I felt as well, because I had been raised in a Christian church. I had gone to Christian school my whole life. And you just, you know, it was shameful to go through this divorce. I mean, I remember when I had separated and I was going through the divorce, the shame to just go to church, you know, and knowing that everybody knew Now, you know, knowing what I know now, because now I don't give a rat's ass what people think, but mm-hmm. that was 17, 15 years ago or so, where I did care. And I will tell you.
When do you think that turning point was when you didn't give a rat's ass?
It came over years, but mostly once I went through the divorce.
Okay.
Because it made me so much stronger.
So it wasn't necessarily a certain age in your life.
No, I think just a lot of things as I've grown and gotten older, there's a lot of things in my life that I cared about what people thought that I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is very liberating. But that was one of the things. It was shameful to me that everybody knew I was had this short marriage, you mm-hmm. know, because, you know, there's probably people who are saying, ain't going to last. That's not going to work out. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't. And right. so then you come back home and because I had moved away. But then you come back home and everybody knows, you know, what's going on in your life. And because you're in this small church community where, you know, but I just want to say to anybody who's out there and who has been raised sort of in the way that we have in these Christian homes, you know, don't be ashamed. If there nobody at that church, nobody in my family, nobody that I know makes my bottom line or pay my bills or, you know. Mm-hmm. And why am I so concerned? Why was I so concerned about what they thought? It wasn't going to change anything.
No, but I think a lot of that has to do with upbringing.
It does. It has to do with upbringing. And unfortunately, there was this gentleman who I had known my whole life in the church. And I went to church when I moved back here. And I loved this man to death. And he said, he nobody would, you know, ask me about it, but he did. Mm-hmm. He came up to me and he says, you know, so, you know, I heard you were going through a divorce. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, I'm just going to let you know mm-hmm. that wasn't on you. It was up to that man to keep that marriage together. Mm-hmm. You didn't fail. He did. And right. I was like, wow, hey, is this how he now? I'm not saying that he was totally right because it's two people in a marriage. Yeah. But my ex didn't try hard to keep it together. He really didn't. So, I mean,
and it's very easy.
It just made me feel good that I was thinking all these people are thinking one way or another. And he was just like, I don't blame you. I don't.
But your ex probably made you feel, or actually, correct me if I'm wrong. Did he make you feel like you had something to do with? I mean,
no.
You know what? Let me rephrase, because marriage is a two way street. Love is a two way street. Relationship is a two way street. And it takes two to hold it together.
It does.
But for some reason, you know, the divorce made me feel like I failed.
It does make you feel like you failed. But I'll also say this to anyone who's listening. You may feel like a failure. You may feel like you failed. But put yourself in a place where, am I really going to be happy mm-hmm. if I stay? Is this really going to be the best thing for me? And decide from there. I just can't see myself being miserable for 20 years or unhappy or knowing I probably married the wrong person. Let him go on and be happy. Let me go on and be happy. Not saying anything bad about him, but we weren't meant to be.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, that brings us to a place of asking, what is people's definition of happiness?
Everybody has their own.
Everybody has their own.
You know, you know if you're miserable or happy.
Well, you know what?
Only you know that.
If you would have asked me this question 10 years ago, I probably would have said that the source of my happiness was my marriage had something to do with it. My home life had something to do with it. But if you ask me this question today, I would say that the source of my happiness has to do with me. Mm-hmm. Not him.
Yeah.
So if I was asked this question today.
But he was making you unhappy.
The living conditions of who I married and what I expected out of him mm-hmm. in our household made me unhappy. Okay. I realized because I did have a long distance relationship, mm-hmm. which if you were to ask me today, I personally mm-hmm. don't believe in long distance relationship. That doesn't knock anybody who's in a long distance relationship. But for me, what I learned from a long distance relationship is you do not have the ability to know what you need to know about that person through just seeing them on the weekends.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'll tell you this.
I was in a similar situation.
You see the person on the weekends, yeah. You're seeing their representative.
Of course.
And their representative might act like they miss you. So now you are incorporating sex into the mix.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal because a lot of people confuse sex with love.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably trying to get it in before the weekend is over, right? So and that's where emotions get clouded.
They
because
do.
You're confusing, you know, sex with love and thinking that this is the basis of what you're building your relationship on. And that's not the case.
And let's not forget how society makes you feel like as a woman, you're supposed to be married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have so many women who, like you said, who they are is based on their marriage.
Yeah.
And their kids and their husband, that's who they are.
Yeah.
And society makes this almost like if you're a single woman, and God forbid you're single over 30.
Oh, God forbid.
You know, if something's wrong with you,
right.
And you can't find a man. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the pressure society. Now, you got society and the church, if you're a religious person. These are pressures you're dealing with.
Actually, you know, it's really funny you say that because I now, at this point in my life, have so much respect for couples that are getting married in an older age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably better. I mean, you know who you are.
You know who you are. That is so major today.
You know who you are. You know what you want.
Yeah.
And what you're willing to put up with. And put. You know, everybody has crap. You meet somebody, everybody's got crap. You try to find someone.
Is that your definition of luggage?
The least amount of crap that you can actually deal with.
Right.
Sarah, do you have a boyfriend?
I don't know.
You don't? Okay. So are you at 21? Do you have this expectation like, I want to be married and I want to.
I've never been someone who's like, I want to be married and have a family. And it's really weird because I do feel that stigma because, like, I'm 20, you know, I'm a single woman that lives alone, and people are really weird about that.
Yeah.
Like, that I'm
it's
not
like,
really
it's something
interested.
Wrong with you.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, I'm not really, I always get asked about if I have a boyfriend, and that's never been a priority to
yeah.
me.
And there's something wrong with you because that's
yeah,
not a priority.
Like, that's really strange. Yeah,
no, I actually have more
girl.
Respect for you.
Thank you.
With you saying that, Sarah, because you're an individual.
Yeah.
And you're not falling into the realm of peer pressure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which at that age, it's major.
You know, when I was younger, I definitely felt like, you know, when you're, you know, in your 20s, you get married.
Yeah.
That's just what
yeah.
happens.
Yeah, I was in my 20s, late 20s.
I was actually 23. I was young.
It's a pressure when you're younger.
Yeah.
It is. I know. So let me ask you this, Sarah. So do you have girlfriends that are married? Any friends or getting
none
married?
That I hang out with.
No.
Most of my friends are single, and mm-hmm. A few of my really close ones are in the same boat as me, where they just they live alone and they just like
and they're enjoying.
Themselves. Yeah,
they're enjoying life.
Yeah.
And that's very important. I'm gonna be honest with you, Sarah, because for me and Tosh have had this talk. I don't know if I'm the relationship, marriage type of person.
That's exactly how I feel.
I really wonder, and I've told you this, sometimes it scares me that I don't feel I have to, you know, be
but
in some type of relationship. Like, I love my life.
I think it scares you because that is an expectation that society has put on woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I have somebody that's very close to me use the term, and I never started thinking about it until this person said it, that sometimes marriage might be overrated. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I do believe it. I do believe it is overrated.
I think it's overrated because they expect.
Yeah.
And that's the
and
key word
not
here.
For, it's not. It's just like anything
it's
else. It's
everybody.
Not for everybody.
Right.
But when you have these pressures from your family, your religion,
and
your
society, yeah.
You start to think you're supposed to be married.
And you start thinking something's wrong with
not,
you.
Yep. Even if you're not the marrying type, you may do it.
Just
you know?
Because.
And now you're in a situation where it's not working out.
You know, when you're younger, there's so much pressure from being, you want to be desirable. Like, if you're not desirable, like, that's what your worth is based on. Or that's what, at least what it feels like.
Or what you've been told it's based on.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't we take a quick break?
Is it that time already?
Yeah.
Goodness.
We're having fun.
All right. We'll be back. Take a listen to this song and come back and listen to Divas and Margarita talk more about divorce. Dun, dun, dun.
You're having too much fun with that. No, you go ahead. There you go.
Hey, welcome back to Two Divas and a Margarita. I am Diva Cass.
And I am Diva Tosh.
And we're talking about divorce today. Such a unhappy subject.
But it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
We have to talk about it.
We both experienced it.
So a little divorce statistic for you. Divorce is most common during the early years. An estimated 80% of couples are headed in the direction of divorce within the first 4 to 5 years of marriage. That was me.
I did not know that.
That was me. This startling, however common, trajectory is often because of decreased passion and excitement in the relationship.
You know, that's funny that you said that, Cassie, because you and I talked about getting comfortable in relationships, didn't we?
Yeah.
Just a couple days ago. I don't remember what the topic was, but we did just talk about that just not too long ago.
Yeah, we did.
You know what? Spinning off of that, there is a movie that came to mind, Denzel Washington. The movie's called Fences. And I went to go see that movie alone, but it really resonated with me because there were so many messages that were sent through that movie. It took place probably during the 50s, 60s, 1950s, 1960s. And Denzel Washington was married to, I believe it was Viola Davis, was his supporting actor in that movie. And during that time, which is very common during that time, the wife stayed home and took care of the home, the family. And the husband went to work, made the money, came home. And if the wife needed any funds, it was her source was the husband giving her money. Mm-hmm. And in this particular movie, he went out and had an affair. And he pretty much boldly came home and told the wife that he had a baby on the way. And she asked if he was going to stop with the affair. And because he made the money, he told her no.
Well, we know money is power.
Money is power. And in this case, he clearly showed it.
Yeah.
Because he, when I say boldly, he boldly told her no. He was not going to stop because this particular person that he was having the affair with made him happy. It was his.
Let's just call her a hoochie.
Hoochie mama made him happy. She was his outlet. She was.
Outlet for what?
Long days of work.
I did not see Fences. But see, and this is the thing. He knew he could do that, and I'm going to tell you why. He knew the woman he was married to. Now, that plays a very big part in it. And I know this is a movie, but in real life.
In real life,
you know what woman you can come home and say, I got a baby on the way, and I'm not going to stop seeing who I'm seeing. You know if you got that wife at home.
And she was that wife.
And you know if you can't come home and tell a wife that.
Yeah.
So he knew exactly, you know, and that's, you know, a big part of why, like we just talked about, why women stayed. In time. Now, there's a lot of women that stay now. I know a few women who personally, they talk horribly about their marriages.
But they're still there.
They're still there. They talk horribly about their spouse. And I wonder,
and they're still there.
Why are they still there? And I'm trying to understand if, you know, I'm getting the, I don't understand. Am I getting the whole story? Because, you know, one thing we know why people say they stay is for children. And so we know that, you know, that is definitely not necessarily a great reason to stay in a marriage. But why would you stay with someone who makes you so miserable?
Well, you know what?
And maybe it is to say, hey, I'm going to leave this man or this woman when the kids become of age, 18 or whatever. Let's try to keep this family structure together. That's a great reason. And you say, well, I'm going to put my own happiness aside for the sake of my children. That I get. But some of these people don't have small children.
No.
Is it financial? Is it we've locked ourselves into a financial situation?
And that's actually where I was going with this movie, because in this particular movie, Denzel Washington's wife stayed home. And he was the source of the income for that family.
Yeah.
So if Viola Davis chose to leave, number one, she didn't have a job. Number two, any money that came from him.
Yeah.
Number three, if she did go, she pretty much would have been out on the street.
But that was then. I'm talking now. There's women who know their husbands and men who know their wives are having affairs, and they still stay.
That goes back to what I was saying, perspective. Because for people like myself and people, I don't know if it's safe to talk for you, but people like yourself, we found a way to continue paying our bills.
Well, I had been independent before he came along. So for me.
And there's a lot of women, Cassie, that's not out there.
Okay. I knew how to be independent. I didn't go from my parents' house to his house. I did go from my parents' house to, like Sarah, living on my own. So I know I can do it.
But Cassie, think about all those women that are out there that are not independent.
No. But they're working. A lot of women are working. But, you know, because this is 2018. When you say not independent, what exactly do you mean? Because working is a form of, independence.
Mentally, I think there is a lack of independence because a lot of these women feel that they need that man to be complete.
Yeah.
So whether they're working or not, without that person in their life, they may not know how to function.
Yeah, I know we keep saying women, but there are men in these situations too. There's a lot of men that stay that have bad wives.
It kind of goes back to that thing of like not feeling like basing your worth on your desirability. You know, if no one loves me right now, then maybe I'm not worth anything. Yeah.
Yep. And having this husband and maybe these kids and this family makes me look desirable and makes me look like I'm somebody.
Yeah.
And it's actually sad to say because, like I personally know women in marriages right now who are not happy, or they say they're not happy, but they're really not making a move to leave.
Well, you know what?
That just wasn't how I was willing to live my life. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously they have their reasons for staying. Happiness for me and peace of mind was just more important. I didn't see myself being happy if I stayed with this person. I did the same thing that you did, Tosh. I dated, you know, a long distance. So the dating part of our relationship was long distance. The marriage came really fast. I don't think we got to know each other. And I could have hung in there and stuck it out. We could have stayed together. Would we have been, even if we have found out we're not compatible, we have a child together, let's just make it work. We could have done that. But it also goes back to the person, because I'm being honest with you, I'm a little spitfire.
Not you.
So but I didn't know I was until I went through the divorce, because I think I went along with a lot of things the first year of my marriage. A lot of things I just kind of brushed aside. A lot of things I held my tongue on. It was when I decided to speak up, when I finally said, you know, or I won't even say speak up, when I started talking back, I'll say that. That's when it started going badly. And that was who I became, because I had seen other women in my family not speak up for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing for me. I felt
Did that kind of stay with you a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that a thing that scares me more than anything in my life, in relationships, when it comes to, is control. Mm, Do not try to control me. Yeah. You will wake up and I will be gone.
So, Cassie, do you feel that your former husband didn't know that part of you?
Oh, no, I don't think he knew it. He couldn't have known it because I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
I really didn't know.
And I think that has a lot to do with getting married at a young age, too.
Yeah, I didn't know that
part of yourself.
It took years for me to realize, even being in other relationships, mm-hmm. when I start seeing a controlling person, mm-hmm. it freaks me out. And it's like, no, you kind of have to let me be me.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with me, you know, as I am, not in a controlling way at all. That's a no-no for me. So, like I said, he could have never known this because mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is, you know. He was also 9 years older than me.
Yeah.
So in some ways, there was kind of that, I know more than you.
Yeah. Thank God for growth.
He was educated, so I know. You know, I can't say what was in his head,
mm-hmm.
but I started seeing some things that were like, you know, I just couldn't deal with that.
I think what you're saying is pretty, you know what, that's actually good stuff, because that comes with growth, that comes with maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, I've had this discussion with my sister many times, because I have two daughters and mm-hmm. she has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about, you know, things that now that we are where we are in life, mm-hmm. teaching our daughters, and I'm specifically saying daughters because I'm a female, they're mm-hmm. females, the importance of growth. And for most women, I'm not saying that this is a statistics, but I am saying that this is something that I have observed mm-hmm. over life, this lifetime, is that between the ages of 21 and 30, most women are really, during that time span, really just getting to know themselves.
Who they are. I agree. Would you agree, Sarah?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay.
And by the time you're 30, you have a good knowledge of who you are as an individual. I'm not saying that you stop learning about yourself, but yeah. I'm saying that at that point, you pretty much know what your tolerances are and what your intolerances are.
I agree. And you know what else I agree? Like, I don't want to keep making this about my personal experience with divorce. I don't want to do that. But what I will say is, as you grow,
mm-hmm.
Learning who you are, like yeah. you just said, it's very important. And probably you should date quite a bit before you're married.
Absolutely.
And I had, even though that didn't work out for me, but I think I did. I know people who have not dated a lot. And one of our statistics is sexual initiation become a divorce catalyst. Engaging in intercourse with multiple partners before marriage or becoming sexually active under age 18 can escalate to risk of divorce within your first 10 years of marriage.
That's interesting.
That is interesting because they say that, you know, if you have all these parts. I don't agree with this. I truly believe you should date mm-hmm. as much as possible before you divorce. Dating shows you what's out there. It shows you who you click better with, mm-hmm. what type of personalities you click better with, what
right.
types you don't get along with.
Absolutely.
Dating is very important
yeah.
Before marriage. And if yeah. if you dated once or one or two people and then boom, you're married,
actually,
that's a little, you don't have a lot of experience there. Now, I'm not saying it can't work out because maybe you could be that person that meets the date two people, mm-hmm. get married, and you meet a great guy or gal. But to me, you should definitely date as much as possible. Get to know what works with you and mm-hmm. what doesn't and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I'm actually going to piggyback off of this, and I'm about to tell on myself. give the world a part of me that of what I believe. It talks about sexual compatibility. Mm-hmm. And the one area I do not agree with is having sex with your partner mm-hmm. early in the relationship.
I'm not saying you're trying to do the Steve Harvey 90-day situation.
I am trying to do the Steve
Harvey.
I know,
I don't believe in them. No. The 90-day is a bit much.
90 days is a bit much. But what I am saying is be very, very, very careful in how sex can cloud what you think you feel yes. about the person that you're with.
I agree with that.
Don't get me wrong.
So if he landed down real good,
I like
you might
it.
Be like, I'm in love, but what you really right. in love with
is the sex.
The sex. Okay.
You know, and when I say it could cloud what you think of that person, I want to know the person minus the sex. Mm-hmm. Because that is the part that tells me if I'm truly compatible with this person. Can I talk to you? Mm-hmm. Can you make me laugh? Can you deal with my... You know, I got some ways about me.
Who
can
doesn't?
You deal with that? You know, I don't want to be clouded by having sex with this person and thinking, and I stress so hard on the word think I'm in love with you mm-hmm. when I'm confusing love with sexual satisfaction.
Yes, because let's just be honest.
Please.
We talked about this. We talked about this in our first podcast, 40s and Horny.
Damn.
We
You're talked taking it all the way back.
I'm gonna take it all the way back. We talked about having sex and feeling like, you know, it was the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, you know, it's true. You have to fool around. You have to look, I am not ever going to sit here and tell any young lady don't have sex before marriage. Please do. please do. Don't listen to that crap I listen to. Because, you know, marriage, sex is an important part of marriage. Mm-hmm. It is not the most important part. You're going to grow up with this person. You want to make sure you're compatible. Like you said, can you make each other laugh? Can you hold a conversation and not have sex? And be together for days and just enjoy the company without sex.
Well, Cass, do you not think that, you know, I know you said please do. However, do you not think that if we could get all those other areas intact?
No, I
you don't think I could teach that person how to make me?
We talked about this in part one. Look, at our age, I shouldn't have to teach you anything. Number one. I should not have to teach you.
No, I'm not saying that he doesn't know how to have sex, but he may not know how to satisfy me.
Yeah, so that part.
I could teach somebody what I like and what I don't like.
You can teach them, but it's more important that you are compatible. Like I say, sex isn't the most important thing in a relationship. However, it is important.
It is important.
Because
yeah.
we talked about the jackhammer. You don't want jackhammer. He just going. He doesn't even know. It's just going.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. Slow down, buddy. It's not going anywhere. You have to find someone who you're compatible with and mm-hmm. you can grow up with. Because let me tell you, the sex will diminish. In marriage, any married person will tell you the sex will diminish. It may not go away completely, but as you get older and you grow, you have to have other things in common mm-hmm. and other things that you can do to say, I still love this person. Mm-hmm. I still want to be with this person.
I think that's the difference between getting married at 20 mm-hmm. and being in a relationship in your 40s or older.
Yeah, I will say I had great sex in the beginning mm-hmm. When I was dating my ex. It was, but that's not enough to carry.
No, not today, it's not.
No, it's not enough to carry a relationship. You do have to be compatible. So,
in other ways.
And here's another interesting statistic. Your parents' marital status has a major influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if your parents, you know, if divorce is present within either spouse's family or origin, their own chances of marriage instability or even separation will often double. That's
double
huge. You know, so my parents, like I say, they would have been married 50 years this year.
Wow.
So they were together a long time and I'm divorced. My sister is not divorced. Mm-hmm. She's been with her husband probably 20, 30 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, one of my brothers has been divorced and remarried. And the other two, they just won't marry. So I don't even, this statistic isn't really working because, you know, from what we've seen growing up, these two brothers of mine, and they know who they are.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you waiting for? Gerald, I think, will probably be a bachelor for life.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, everybody's not meant for marriage. Gerald likes his life. He's got it going on as far as he's got his house. He's got his boat. He's got called the G-Spot, by the way. That's my brother's boat. The G-Spot.
I love it.
So clearly this one might not be getting married.
Not with a boat by the name of the G-Spot,
no. He has a mobile home on the riverfront. So in the summer.
Does he have any kids?
He has, his daughter is 18. So she's graduated high school.
Yeah.
And so he has his life very, and he's a decent looking guy. I won't lie. So it's not like he's had a long time girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not married. And then there's my other brother, Mike, who was a longtime girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But they've lived together for, you know, years, not married. But if you look at our parents, they were married until, you know, for a long time, until my dad passed last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what it is. You have five kids, you're going to have some marriages and some divorces and some non-marriages.
I know we are working our way on wrapping things up.
Oh,
however,
really? Wow.
I think, you know, there are so many reasons, and this could almost be a two-part show, but there are reasons why, you know, people stay in certain relationships or choose not to marry.
Yeah. I don't think marriage is for every. I strongly believe that. I think society makes you think you're supposed to be married. But I don't think marriage is for everyone. And everyone should not get married.
I'm with you on that. We definitely agree in that area. It's not for everybody. Everybody is not made up the same.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same beliefs. We don't have the same. I mean, I know that I probably grew up in a family that believed in marriage, and I do still believe in marriage. I do still believe in love.
I do too.
However, I think my view of recognizing a person that I'm compatible with is very different today than it was when I did initially get married.
Okay.
But if you're a person that's not married and you choose not to want to marry, I'm not judging you.
No.
I'm not judging you. I actually have more respect for you than I would, you know, any other person, because you made a conscious decision and recognized something within yourself.
Yes.
That society is probably not recognizing today.
Yeah.
I was actually going somewhere with that cast. Damn this margarita.
See,
so freaking good.
Maybe it is not
a
good idea for us to drink during our podcast because we clearly lose our thoughts.
No.
I enjoyed this show, even though it was kind of a bummer, you know, divorce.
It's a sad topic. You know what? You have too much fun with that thing.
I did. I found
we cannot leave toys in front of her.
It was like divorce. Yeah, I love this little sound effects they have here in the studio. We have to implement that more. But divorce is a big deal because, like you say, if 40% of marriages end in divorce, that's a large percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yeah.
It needs to be talked about. And there's just a few, you know, things I want to go over here that coping with divorce a little bit. Elizabeth Ross, a pioneer in the hospice movement, first described the stages of grieving about and recovering from a major trauma such as death or divorce. So I've heard this before. People are saying that divorce is like a death in
yes,
the family.
It is.
I've had both, and I don't agree. A death is definitely much more traumatic to me than a divorce.
It is. I have to disagree with you because me being married for 20 years, mm-hmm. my divorce was like a death. Mm-hmm. Because 20 years is a long part of your life.
Yeah.
Where you're living
Maybe
with this
mine
person.
Was so short.
And you know what? That might make
that
a difference.
But
I was living with this person day after day. Yeah. I went from living with my parents mm-hmm. to marriage. I did not go from living with my parents, having my own place mm-hmm. to marriage.
Okay.
So, and especially I left the country that I was living in
which was Canada.
Yeah. To move here. And this was the only person.
So for you, it was like
it
a
was
death.
Like a death.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But even still, there's a few stages of divorce. Denial. This is not happening to me. It's all a misunderstanding. It's just a midlife crisis. We can work it out. Did you feel that way?
At one point, that's why I made it to 20 years because I was hoping that change would take place prior to 20.
Okay. Yeah. Anger and resentment.
Oh, hell yeah, that anger was real.
I did not go through these stages.
I did.
How can he, she do this to me? What did I ever do to deserve this? This is not fair.
Yeah. Yep.
But you filed for the divorce.
Yeah.
So what do you mean, resentment?
I filed for divorce because I'm not saying this is a woman thing. I'm just saying this is a me thing. Mm-hmm. It was the age that I was turning mm-hmm. that I try to put things into perspective.
But you filed for a divorce mm-hmm. and you were angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
Was he angry with you for filing for a divorce?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was anger.
Oh, there was anger on both parts.
How are we doing, Sarah?
It's 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Eastern Standard Time.
I'll just say these really quick. Bargaining, depression, acceptance. In the end, mm-hmm. acceptance. Okay, this is how it is and I'd rather accept it and move on than wallow in the past.
Yeah.
We have to go right now.
Oh, and let me just say, all those things you just mentioned, mm-hmm. I experienced each and every single one of them.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I really wish we could talk more about this, Tosh. We have to go. Please go follow us on Two Divas and a Margarita Facebook. Go to our website, twodivasandamargarita.com. Please leave comments. Tell us what you want to hear. We definitely want to hear from you. And thank you, as always, for listening to us today. Have a wonderful week. Try not to stab yourself in the eye because you have to go to corporate America tomorrow. And we will be back next week. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye.